When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Play fake. Jones rolls left. Throws left. Wide open for the touchdown is Bellinger.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Man, I guess they had to take Aaron Judge out of center field to get some production for the American League. Jaren Duran is your Casamigos Big Shot of the Night, hailing from the rival Red Sox. A pinch hit, he comes in there, and like I said live when I watched the at-bat before him, I'm like, yo, this guy is paying attention. He's watching the guys before him. Two batters before him, Corey Seager almost hit it out. And he comes in, steps into the batter's box, lines one. Hits one a far distance, a two-run bomb. And that's the difference in the game as the AL wins 5-3. And, Jaren Duran, he's having a good year. And he's your Casamigos Big Shot of the Night, almost 40,000 in attendance at Globe Life Field. And that concludes your 2024 All-Star Game festivities. We'll see you at the Baseball Festival next year in Atlanta. 888-808-1019. It's wide open for calls. I have no calls right now. That's always cool because this is like a game. I come in here and I'm like, all right, I got to clear these calls. I got to weave in and out of topics. I got to set some things up. And until I get some calls, I will go back to my notes and touch on some things that I didn't bring to the table yet. You know, I opened up the show talking about Pete Alonso. I think we've talked all around Pete Alonso's terrible showing in the Home Run Derby last night. It doesn't mean anything towards his contract talks or him potentially getting traded. So if you have that in your mind, Eli, forget that. And as far as Juan Soto goes and his contract talks, nobody knows, man. But I know Big Poppy told him, you look good in pinstripes. I was surprised to hear Sloppy Ortiz say that. Big Sloppy told him, you look good in pinstripes. Was stuffing money into his Yankees jersey. Paid a man. The Yankees can pay him. If he wants to be the Yankee, be a Yankee, and the Yankees want him to be a Yankee, they can pay him. You know, we also talked about, speaking of the Yankees, Yankee manager Aaron Boone. I was pleasantly surprised today to get a message from my boy Feo who said, yo, watch this. And Aaron Boone says, you know what Keith McPherson always says, talking about Anthony Volpe in the 10 years, and we got clarity. Booney, I got it.
Keith McPherson always says.
Keith McPherson always references, because I'm a Yankee fan like you, I always reference April 9th after that game. Gleyber Torres had been struggling, and people had been saying how good Volpe started off the year. And so Aaron Boone was quoted by saying, and let me get the quote so I don't do it verbatim. Aaron Boone was asked about moving Volpe to the leadoff spot. You know, I was saying this guy had the numbers that Mookie Betts had early in the year. I was so happy to see the growth that Volpe displayed. And I do put blame on Anthony Volpe, but I also share some blame on the New York Yankees. So it was April 9th. And now my computer is taking forever to load. Of course, I want to get the exact words, Aaron Boone, because if you're out there listening, I got to make sure we are claro. And thank you for the clarity. Thank you for being a listener to WFAN, specifically KM to AM. I don't know what other shows you listen to, but we know you were listening when I was on. So Boone said, when we look up in 10 years, that's where his future is going to be at the top of the lineup. I took that as we're not moving him. Tomorrow. We're not moving him next month. We're not moving him this season. Let him continue to develop and produce lower in the lineup. And so I was disappointed the next day, April 10th, when the Yankees came out and lost 5-2 to the measly Marlins, and that was Anthony Volpe's first game leading off. You know, and I think he was, you know, 1 for 3 that day with 2 walks. It wasn't even that bad. But Boone cleared that up, and I get it. What he's saying is, like, in 10 years when Volpe's 33, yeah, he could potentially be and may very well be for your New York Yankees a Gold Glove shortstop that has been a leadoff hitter, a solid leadoff hitter, working walks, getting knocks, hitting for power, getting on base, stealing bases. Great. We are Claro. Copy. Got it. What else did we talk about? You know, and shout out to Boone. He doesn't duck smoke. And what I mean by duck and smoke, he is a stand-up guy. He is available from the time I interviewed him in the offseason and asked him a bunch of questions. And he took questions from everybody in the building. He was on the Talking Yanks podcast. I saw the Talking Yanks guys are doing a live Talking Yanks with him on August 5th. So he's going to be available Monday, August 5th, somewhere in the city with John Boy and Jake, where you can roll up on him and ask him questions. And then tomorrow, you can meet Aaron Boone at the Chestnut Market. I saw my guy Jake from the Bronx Zoo posting about this. So Aaron Boone is not hiding. Aaron Boone is ready to wear it. There's nothing you can say to Aaron Boone that he hasn't heard and that he's not ready to handle. So I commend him for that. We also talked about Devontae Adams, and the last 2 days I've just been telling you it's nonsense. It's Aaron Rodgers propaganda. And I think we're clear on that. We're clear on that. Devontae Adams' agents said no, no, and no, and no. So we're done. I don't know. Maybe Boomer will get on in the morning and tell you something different. But for what I can deduce, what I can look up, what I can figure out, there's just no reason why Antonio Pierce in his first year as head coach and the people that run the Las Vegas Raiders and Al Davis, Mark Davis, I don't know, Ice Cube, there's no way they would get rid of the best receiver in the league, arguably. But, you know, receiver on Netflix has been great. But that was about last season. It has nothing to do with this season. Let's see what Aiden O'Connell looks like in year two. More importantly, let's see what Gardner Minshew looks like in year two. 888-808-1019. I have not watched Hard Knocks yet, but there's a bunch about Saquon and Brian Burns. When I go home tonight, I'm going to watch that for sure. Romo Dunze signed. Caleb Williams signed. We are this close. Rookies are reporting to NFL training camps. I repeat, the rookies are reporting to NFL training camps. And speaking of rookies, there is a rookie that plays for the Los Angeles Lakers, a second-round pick, 55th overall, with a guaranteed $7.9 million contract. He wears number 9 in honor of 999 Juice WRLD, who passed a couple years ago. Yes, that's LeBron James Jr., Bronny James. He's terrible. And I don't mean to be hard on the kid because he's got it hard enough. But no, he doesn't. He's a millionaire. He's always been famous. He's got millions of followers. It's okay. It's okay to admit that this kid doesn't belong. It's okay for Jaylen Brown to go viral with a video that everybody can read his lips saying, I don't think Bronny's a pro. And then Jaylen Brown's got to come out and say, oh, it's a flex to have your son next to you. I'm looking forward to Bronny's development. No, it's wrong. It's cringe. They need to stop it. J.J. Redick came out and said he projects to be like Lou Dort. Please miss me with it. The whole draft night thing was awkward, and watching him play in the summer league is awkward. I feel for the kid because last year he had a cardiac arrest, and that's a scary thing. They should have done the right thing by that young man and let him continue to play and develop in college. He doesn't belong in the NBA. This tarnishes LeBron's legacy. It doesn't make LeBron the GOAT. So anybody trying to tell you, oh, this is going to be it when you see LeBron step on the court with his son. Oh, y'all, wait till you see Bronny throw a oop to LeBron. Yeah, that's going to solidify LeBron as the GOAT. No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay, now we got calls rolling in. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the fan for the next 45 minutes. Let's go to Kelvin in Connecticut. What's up, Kelvin? You're on the fan.
Keith, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
I'm listening to first time caller, man. We're true, but I've been a fan for years, man. I listen to Beningo, Tony Page, everybody. I just want to say that your style is different, man. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's refreshing. You know, I could talk with you. And,
thank you.
And you're doing your thing, brother. But yes, speaking of receivers, man, like, I'm a big Bills fan, bro, and, you know, getting rid of Stephon Diggs is going to come up to be a blessing for the Bills because now Josh don't got to force feed him, you know, 15, 18 targets every game. And he already does his thing without, you know, with him. And you know, you hear these executives and these pros talking about Josh Allen is overrated, but then you got, like, guys, you know, coming out to defend him, like Orlovsky and everybody else. I just want to say, like, this year, like, it's not going to be any different. Josh is going to do his thing. You know, he's a great quarterback. And we just got to get over the hump with the defense and Coach McDermott, man. What do you think about that? I mean, it's still our division to lose, you know?
I've been waiting for somebody to say, especially these Jets fans, to say, oh, Look at the Bills. We got a better roster than them. They don't have any receivers. Man, Stephon Diggs was a diva. He was always on some nonsense. Now they have Keon Coleman out of Florida State, who, if anybody heard me going into the draft, I'm like, yo, that guy is a beast. He can return kicks.
Yes, sir.
One-on-one, he's a problem on the outside. Curtis Samuel is there. He's a playmaker. You can hand him the ball. You can throw him the ball in space. Or in no space, he'll make space. Khalil Shakir,
exactly.
Marquez Valdez Scantling, Chase Claypool, Mac Hollins. There's some guys over there trying to prove that they belong. KJ Hamler, Andy Isabella. They have enough talent at wide receiver. Those guys are going to compete. Josh Allen can make anybody look good. He's going to ball.
Exactly. And Keith, you're forgetting the main target. Dalton Kincaid, bro, he's going to be a top five tight end.
Second
top
year,
three this year, bro.
Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, they're going 22 personnel, two tight ends, two backs, let's ride.
Yep, two, there you go. You got it, but James Cook, too. Real quick, Keith, you're the man, bro, but listen, man, I'm a big Yankee fan. Grew up in the Bronx all my life right there, 176 in Jerome, man, and I'm in Connecticut now, but we got to sign Soto, bro, because Soto and Judge, for the next 8-9 years, man, there could be something like, you know, what Murderer's Row used to be with them too, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Even if it's not a Murderer's Row, if this isn't the year, you want to see this for multiple years. This is going to help the entire lineup, the entire team, the entire fan base. They do have to sign Juan Soto. Thanks for the call, Kelvin. But, you know, Juan Soto's got to come up big. First off, the Yankees are going to get to October. They're going to be a postseason team. When we get to October, I expect Juan Soto to look like he looked as a baby in October, playing his ass off for the Nationals, where everybody in the world learned his first and last name. I expect him to be able to pick up Judge. I expect Judge to be the captain and lead this time, his first postseason as captain. And you know what? I'm hoping against hope, hope week continues, that they add another bat or two at the deadline, somebody else that's clutch, maybe a leadoff hitter, maybe somebody with speed to make this lineup more dynamic. And off to the races we go. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Josh is in Rockland County. You got it, Josh.
Yeah, what's going on, Keith? You just took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say they need a more athleticism. You know, you need a clutch DNA leadoff hitter, someone to come up with big hits. You know, I don't trust Judge in the postseason. He, you know, he comes up in every big spot, and also then he goes through, you know, over through every year. So,
yeah. So I mean, and I don't blame you for that, right? You can only go off of what you've seen. People love to tweet at me Judge's 211 postseason average and his stats and his numbers, whatever. Get him there again. This guy's a six-time All-Star. He's been to the postseason six times, I believe. Like, get him there again, and let's see what he does with Juan Soto in the lineup. Let's see what other pitchers do against this lineup when the lights are brightest. Let's see if the Yankees can be the actual elite team. Thanks for the call, Josh. Let's see if they can actually be the elite team that they want us to think they are when it matters most. 888-808, you know the number to dial. Rocco in Saratoga, my guy, back on the Fan.
Yo, Keith. Hey, the All-Star game wasn't bad. AL1, good, you know. But what was up with those uniforms? Man, I don't want to see that nonsense. I want to see Yankee pinstripes with Soto and Judge. I want to see Shohei and Dodger blue, not, you know. Come on.
Listen, I don't know. They got creative. I think everything is for the kids and for TikTok, and I guess they thought those Technicolors were going to be bright and fun and make the kids say, yeah, baseball. No, I don't think any kids tuned in tonight for those jerseys.
No. And then you turn on the game later, you don't even know what some of these guys, who they are. You know, they're putting them in. I don't know what team they play for.
I said that earlier. Earlier in the show, I'm like, I know who all these guys are, but if you're trying to grow the game, you're not helping with these sand color, technicolor jerseys. People don't know. Like, David Fry had a big moment, and I literally was like, I know who David Fry is, but the average casual fan or young kid needs to see Guardians across his chest and a Cleveland C on his hat to know, okay, I'm going to check him out. He plays for the Guardians. They have the same record as the Yankees. They're pretty good this year.
Couldn't they just put an all-star patch on the sleeve of their jersey? It's Fanatics, man. Fanatics does all this stuff. They own the rights. They put the Nike, you know, swoosh on the uniform, and Fanatics makes it to sell more jerseys. You know, that's all. Yeah,
Michael Rubin was there.
It's a money grab.
If you want to blame Fanatics, blame Fanatics.
It's a money grab, Keith. Come on. They make all these funky jerseys, figuring, oh, the kid's got to buy a new Yankee jersey because it's camouflage or
whack. Nobody wants to buy those jerseys, and I stand corrected. I knew I was wrong. The Guardians have the same amount of wins as the New York Yankees at 58. They have 37 losses. The Yankees have 40 losses. Go on, Rock.
Right. 58 wins, the Guardians, the Yanks, and one other team. What's the other team with 58? Yeah, they're all...
Orioles.
Orioles, that's right. Yeah, I should remember the damn game they blew Sunday. Nah, that was ridiculous. I don't want to go back to that. I want to forget that.
How about
Alonso? Do you think he's going to have a second half? I mean... In the home run comp, he didn't
stall. I love how everybody's down. Everybody's even more down on Alonso, not just from his first half, but from his performance in the Derby. Everybody's like, he's done. He's cooked. I hope he uses that as motivation and comes out and has 25 bombs and powers the Mets to the postseason.
And then he struck out in the game.
Yeah, a lot of guys struck out. Judge didn't do anything in the game, too. I made the joke they had to take him out to get some production.
He made contact against that Pittsburgh kid. That's dynamite. He pitched a no-hitter.
Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
The pride of LSU. Livy Dunn, the pride of New Jersey.
Yeah, hey, the kid is dynamite, man. It's bringing me back to Doc Gooden, you know? When Doc was pitching, and he was just a kid, younger. Doc was only 19, and he was, 85, he was amazing. One of the greatest years a pitcher ever had, and he was only 19.
Yeah,
what could have been?
It was before my time, but, you know, I've seen some stuff on it.
Yeah. Well, us old guys remember that. I mean, that was a tremendous year. Like Guidry in 78.
Yeah, that's when you didn't have to worry about attendance over at Shea. Thanks for the call, Rock. Hey, we're filling up Shea Stadium to go see young Doc Gooden, from what I'm told. 888-808-1019. It's wide open. We're just talking, Paulie. You know, we're just filling the time.
On the subject of pitching, this is interesting for you. Nestor Cortez sent out a tweet. I don't know if you saw this at 10:34. I just want to give your response, your reaction to this. Everyone talks down about the Yanks, but they want to be us. It's a privilege to wear pinstripes. Every year we are in contention. I'm blessed to be able to compete for a playoff spot and always be contenders at the end.
I'm going to text him and be like, so what did you mean by that? Who are you subtweeting?
10:35. So I don't know.
Did they say something
off
in the broadcast?
Right. So we have the sound up. So we're not listening, obviously, because we got to obviously pay attention to the radio show. But that's a strange thing to tweet out at 10:35 at night from Nestor, I feel like.
I'm about to go retweet that and say, yeah. Now stand on business in the second half. Is this bulletin board material? Did somebody say something? Good, yo. See, this is what I need the Yankees to feel like. Feel disrespected. Are you the Yankees? Because I'm tired of hearing, but Keith, they're the New York Yankees. Are they? The New York Yankees I know would have closed that game on Sunday. The New York Yankees I know wouldn't have gone a month without winning a series. The New York Yankees I know wouldn't have been the worst team in the league for a whole month with two generational players batting second and third. Are they? I don't mind the tweet, but it's Twitter, bro. Like, that's a fake world on Twitter. I try to tell people that all the time. People are always talking about me on Twitter. I'm like, I don't give a damn about Twitter. It's fake. I'll say anything to you on Twitter. I don't care. Just like a bunch of people say anything to me on Twitter. And then when I meet people in real life, they got their phone out to take a selfie. All nice. Negative on Twitter. So, yeah, I'm about to retweet that. And I'm going to hit them with a quote tweet. I'll retweet to boost that 46 minutes ago. I'm going to quote. Yeah. Again, Nestor Cortez, everyone talks down about the Yanks, but they want to be us. It's a privilege to wear pinstripes. Every year we're in contention. I'm blessed to be able to compete for a playoff spot and always be contenders at the end. I'm going to say big facts. Now stand on business in the second half. Win. The end. The end. Not the end of the show. 888-808-1019. We got to take a break. When we come back, I'll take the rest of the calls. I'll add a couple more things in. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM returns right after this.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Money, power, respect, what you need in life. All right, folks, this is my last little stretch. Pat Boyle is stretching out there, getting ready to rock the overnight, filling in for C-Mac. You know, guys go on vacation. Other guys get to step in and shine. They would have had some other guys filling in for me. But nah, sorry. Sorry about it. Keep me fierce and haters. Came back and claimed my rightful spot, my show, KM to AM. We don't get many weeks like this. 4 5-hour KM to AMs in a row. Somebody's pumped about it. 888-808-1019. Taking your calls until about 11:54. It's 11:28 on my watch. So let's do it, man. I've set the stage enough. I've reshuffled the deck. I've told you what we're talking about. You know what we're talking about. Even if you just tuned in, you can figure it out. Danny in Paramus, New Jersey, on The Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. Just want to start by saying big fan of your show and the perspective on the late night. Really love it.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. So listen, every time I see Bryce Harper on national television or when he plays against the Mets, I just look at this guy like he's the one that got away. I know hindsight is perfect, but I don't know how the Yankees let this guy slip through their fingers. In favor for Stan.
You're talking to the right guy. I know exactly how it happened. I can run off the names of the outfielders, Jacoby Ellsbury, Aaron Hicks, Clint Frazier, like Brett Gardner, John Carlos Stanton. It was Aaron Judge. Like there were so many outfielders that the Yankees had that they didn't possibly need to pick up the phone for Bryce Harper. And the thought of him playing first base.
No, you're absolutely right. And listen,
he plays first base.
Listen, I hate to, you know, look back, but I'm trying to look forward. One guy that surprised me tonight that, you know, I think could fill a lot of holes is Marte from Arizona, I believe. He got some reps tonight. He got a hit tonight. What would you think of him, you know, maybe giving Glaber run for his money?
Oh, boy, Arizona's not giving him up. I mean, I would love to have Kettle. That's a guy with speed. That's a guy that can lead off. That's a guy that I don't have to worry about being a bonehead like Glaber. There's no way. That's a dream. That's a dream I haven't even dreamed, Danny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, him being in that market, I don't get to see him that much. But, yeah, I guess we can dream, Keith. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, no way. I mean, Cash, you hear that? Call up the Arizona Diamondbacks right now and see what they want for all-star second baseman Ketel Marte. I would love that. That would win the trade deadline for me. They're not going to do it. Takes two to tango. You got to give to get. And not for nothing, look at where the Diamondbacks are in the standings. Not far from the Mets. They went to the World Series last year. They're not giving up Marte. It'd be nice. It's just not that easy. It's not that simple. And again, I remind you guys so that you're not disappointed. There is a Yankees tax. And Brian Cashman, the eternal Yankees GM, just as much as some of you Yankee fans don't like him, I guarantee you there's some other GMs and some other people in baseball that don't like him. They're not trying to help him. You know, I've got respect for the guy, and I know he's got a hard job to do. I don't envy his position. He's got to look at this team, lose series after series after series. He's got to look at Carlos Rodon go out there and crumble and fold, who he signed last year, gave $162 million. He's got to look at the bottom of the order, put Jahmy Jones at DH. He's got to look at Alex Verdugo, who he traded for, fall flat on his face, go 16 for his last 100 behind Aaron Judge. I don't envy Cash's position. But he gets paid a lot of money to do that job. I expect him to do his job. I expect him to do it well. I'm not expecting to be wowed by this trade deadline, but I'd like to be. I would like to be. I would like to be on The Fan like, yo, pencils down. Look what we got and look who we got rid of. Let's ride. Out in Lyndhurst, Mickey on The Fan. What's up?
Hey, Keith, Dalvin and I are driving back from Long Branch, close to your hometown over here.
It's coming in rough, fellas. I don't know if the window's open or if, I mean, you guys are down in Long Branch. You're chopping up. I don't know. We're not hearing you that well.
Well, it's their bike. We're coming back. We want to move Ben Rice to catcher and Judge to first. And why we give a catcher to the Mets for $100,000?
Thanks for the call, guys. So they want to move Ben Rice to catcher, Judge to first, and then buy back Luis Torrens for $100,000? I figured $100,000, not pesos. Not yen. Not euro. David Stearns would be like hanging up the phone, Brian. The funny thing is, as soon as Luis Torrens started popping up, throwing guys out at second base, blocking pass balls, hitting, I'm like, hey, what the hell? Like, we just gave that guy away. LGYM, let's go Yankee Mets. Luis Torrens is not coming back. The Mets have a great platoon. It's not even a platoon, but they've got a great tandem with Francisco Alvarez and that guy backing him up. Ben Rice, I'm fine with him at first base. So much so I've got on this radio station and said he's already Wally Pipp Rizzo. I'm not yearning for Rizzo to come back. Rizzo might as well shut it down. Rizzo might as well start his coaching career. Rizzo might as well just like, hey, take your time, buddy. Take your time, buddy. Ben Rice, young lefty in first. I'm good. Keep working on first base. That's your first baseman of the future right there. I like his at-bats more so than Rizzo's at this age of Anthony Rizzo. And I know you guys are dying to take Judge out of the outfield. He's still some years away from that. Judge is still very good. Judge just bumped over and is playing a league. He's the all-star center fielder for the American League. You guys want to take him out of the outfield so fast. Not yet. He's a few years away from that. I think he's got at least three more years in the outfield before we really start to consider, like, all right, Judge, go stand at first base. It's about the deadline. It's about the deadline. Jeff is in Fairview. Jeff, you're on the Fan.
Thank you, Keith. Friday, when the Mets come back to play Miami, I want to see Vientos batting fourth, Alvarez fifth, Alonso sixth. I can't take Alonso anymore. He doesn't hit in the big moment, doesn't hit with runners in scoring position, doesn't hit with two outs, swings at the slider 2 feet off the plate. They have figured this guy out. If he wants this money, he better have a big second half. Else he's not going to be here. He's not going to get the money, or they're going to trade him. I don't know. I think they figured this guy out. He's really, really being bad.
You guys are really down on Alonso.
Yeah, I am. I'm a Mets fan. You're a Yankee fan. I see this guy all the time.
He hit a home run the last game of the first half before the All-Star break.
He did. But he don't hit in the big moment. He's not clutch at all. Not this year. Check out his average with runners in scoring position.
No, I know. I've glanced at the numbers. I just have been pretty much on the side of, like, Alonso's a forever Met. Don't trade him. He's going to be affordable. But I understand you. It's like, it's run its course. It's crazy. This is the polar bear Pete, the face of the franchise, the guy that you were depending on to hit your home runs. Yep. Now it's like, don't need him. Put Vientos there. Take him out of the cleanup spot. Put Vientos there. Put Alvarez there. Drop him to six. I don't think Mendoza is going to do that coming out of the break. I think you can expect to see him as a cleanup hitter if he slumps maybe. But I think that they look at it as a fresh start. Second half of the season, let's ride.
Yeah. Well, I hope he proves me wrong because, I mean, I like the guy. He wants to be here. He's a Met. You know, he bleeds orange and blue. But please, start hitting. That's all there is to it. You got to be productive. You know, you're not productive. That's what the Mets do now. They get rid of you.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for the call. If you don't produce, you don't play. But Pete Alonso's above that. You know, he's not Brett Beatty. You know, he's not, you know, even DJ Stewart gets to hang around. Tyrone Taylor, I don't know, some other guy. Jeff McNeil gets to kick it here. I know he sat down for a minute and then the emergence of, oh, my God. But listen, man, it is crazy. Even in my TikTok chat, the amount of people that were like, trade Alonzo. Alonzo sucks. See, did you see Alonzo in a home run derby? I'm like, yo, that's not real baseball. It has nothing to do with the player and what he's going to be in the second half. But I get it, man. You've got new shiny toys. You've got other players that have emerged. We don't need Pete anymore. He's aging. He's old. Trade him. Drop him in the lineup. Don't pay him. I don't know. I don't think it's as simple as that. 888-808-1019. And I don't think these rankings are as simple as these rankings. Let's go through them. Yeah, I was trolling the whole time saying that the best booth in baseball is Michael Kay and the Yes Network booth. Mike's my guy. Shout out to the Yes Network, Troy Benjamin, everybody, Jared Boschnack, everybody at the Yes Network, man. They've always been good to me. They've always shown me love. Even when it was Jay-Z over there, not Jigga, Jonathan Ziegler. Kevin Sullivan was over there. Not for nothing, bro. The Yes Network put me on. They took a chance on me in 2019 just off of some stuff I put out on Twitter. They put me in commercials. They brought me to the headquarters in Connecticut, the New York office. I'll never forget that. That's how I like first cracked into the industry. The people at Yes Network, we shot a commercial after the Yankees went or clinched the postseason in September. And, man, I'll never forget what that felt like to get a DM from the Yes Network and then to start talking to them. And then I got invited to one of their suites. And supposedly there was like a top 10 list of like Yankees influencers you need to be following on Yankees Twitter. And I was one of them. And I'm like, man, I'm figuring it out. I'm doing it. I had just quit my job the summer before and was regretting it and thinking I ruined my career and thought I made a mistake and wanted to go back. But I just kept going. And the Yes Network was that like, that first shining light, the first light, like, no, you can do this, bro. You got it. And I mean, I still stay in touch with them. I still pop up on Yankees Magazine. They come out to events. They've even covered some of my Brooklyn Nets stuff. Shout out to the Yes Network. I have a undying loyalty as a Yankee fan, Nets fan, and just realizing that they didn't have to support me. They didn't have to put me on their social channels. That too. I remember we had a doubleheader in 2019, I believe. It rained in Detroit, and, you know, they were trying to get younger, and they were trying to do things, and they reached out. They said, hey, Keith, just do a recap of the first game and, you know, talk about the game from your phone. Send it to us. We'll post it. They did that, and people were big mad. People kept hating on me, but I didn't care. I'm like, you mad because I'm on there. Oh, you mad because I'm styling on you. Yeah, so anyway, the Yes Network, out of 30 ball clubs and 30 booths, unfortunately, I got a report that the Yes Network comes in at 22. Womp, womp, womp. Let's read what this says. The New York Yankees get a 2.130 score. Michael Kay, Ryan Rucco as the play-by-play guys. Analysts feature David Cone, John Flaherty. Shout out to Flash and Cone. Joe Girardi. I don't have a relationship with Girardi, but I pulled up on him spring training, and he acted like he knew who I was. Jeff Nelson, mad cool. Paul O'Neill, the coolest, the warrior. I've run into Paul a bunch of times. I can hit Paul. Paul's great. The most common grade for them is a B, 27.80% of the votes. Their previous grade, I don't even want to go through this. This is slander. This is not right. I don't know who produced. This is the same awful announcing that keeps featuring Tommy Lugauer as the future of WFAN, the generation. I'm just playing, Tommy. So the comments, they say, outside of the 2017 edition of our rankings, when Yankee fans stuffed the ballot box in record numbers, the Bronx Bombers broadcast team has never ranked inside the top 10. This year's score matches last year, and their ranks slightly shifted up. Not only are the Yankees announcers not graded as the best in the league, but they're not the best in the city of New York or even the American League East. I'm sorry, I disagree. I enjoy the Yankee broadcast. I enjoy the pregame show. Shout out to Jack Curry. Shout out to Bob Lorenz. I enjoy Michael Kay. Paul. I don't care if he, like I said, I don't care if they put Carlos Beltran in there. Cameron Maben in there. Scott Key is such a Yankee homer, bro. I can't stand this guy. Such a Yankee fanboy. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I'll read what they said about the best booth in baseball. Gary, Keith, and Ron, SNY. The Mets broadcast. And it's not just awful announcing. I remember seeing the Athletic article, and there was some other place where they got ranked number one. It is what it is. When we come back, I'll read that, and I'll take the rest of your calls. It's wide open for calls. We've got 13 minutes BRB.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Some time to grow up and realize what this song and video was about. Hey, Keith McPherson on the Fan. I've got like 6 or 7 minutes left here. 888-808-1019. Pat Boyle is coming up next. Let's take the calls that I've got. Whoever wants to talk to me in my last little run. Man, shout out to everybody on TikTok hanging out in the chat, talking in the chat. I've been live since 10 o'clock. We're going till 12. Appreciate you guys. Dan in Inglewood. You got it. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Keith. I got to tell you. Hold on one second. I got to tell you that, you know, when you first got started, you were so Yankee-oriented, and you barely would talk about the Mets other than in derogatory terms. And you've come so far. You really have become so much of a better announcer. And I think you'd be great in whatever you do. But one thing I thought of was, I mean, I love listening to your analysis about the Mets. I'm a very lifelong 70-year Mets fan, and almost 70 years. They're not here 70 years. But anyway, I'm not a big fan of Keith Radd and Pat, whatever his name is. Pat McCarthy. Right.
Or it's Pat McCarthy.
It's called Pat McCarthy. Pete used to do the warm-ups on WOR.
Right.
I love Howie, but they, you know, those guys are so, particularly Keith, who's the primary guy. There's even though he shares your name, he's not very knowledgeable, and he's all flourish. And I think you're so much more substance. You should apply to be next year's Mets radio broadcaster with or without Howie. It's all Odyssey, right?
Yo, shout out to Ray Martel, Howie. I think there's a negative chance. I didn't think there was any chance they put me in the Yankee booth. I think there's a negative chance they ever waltz me into Citi Field to call a Mets game. Let's go, Mets. Da-na-na.
I don't hate the Mets. These are my Mets.
But, you know, you have to be able to call it. I don't necessarily think that guy Keith is a Mets fan either. The other guy Keith.
Yeah. I've listened.
You know, he's got all these wonderful word flourishes, but he's not a good ball announcer like a Vince Scully or a Howie Rose or a potentially Keith McPherson.
I don't know. I'm not an announcer. I'm not a broadcaster. The two Yankee games people heard me call, I'm flattered how many people bring it up, but those are my first two baseball games being on a call ever.
But you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, but I didn't go to college trying to call games. Honestly, when I was in college, I wanted to be a DJ radio personality on like Z100 or 92.3 in this building where I interviewed coming out of school, and they curved me. I didn't actually think I would get to do this. Like, this is so rare. It's so hard to get in here. Like, I was talking about how I got dropped in here by Spike Eskin. I didn't intern. I didn't board up. I didn't part-time. I didn't overnight. Like, I grinded on the outside, and I was seen and got the opportunity to audition and won. But as far as being a play-by-play guy or a color guy, I was never chasing that. And, you know, shout out to those guys because I can tell they're classically trained. That's who they've wanted to be. And nobody can be Howie Rose, just like nobody can be John Sterling. And what's happening right now is there's a new era coming in all facets. Like, I just saw Skip Bayless is done. And I'm like, good, he's 72. He needs to go home and retire and be done with it. Like, call it quits. Usher in a new era of voices and faces and personalities. But I don't know. I can't put those guys down, and I also can't put myself over to say, yeah, I do it. Like, you know, I'm blessed that Ryan Hurley and Chris Olivero here, they literally threw the opportunity for me to fill in for Susan like a week ahead of time, and I couldn't say no.
But that's because like you were saying, you wanted to be a radio personality, and that's who you are. You know, and you have name recognition, and if you, you know, even though you're a Yankee fan, God bless you, you know, it doesn't mean that you couldn't call for somebody else.
I certainly could.
Because you are very knowledgeable about the Mets. I mean, you've become very knowledgeable.
I watch the Mets, and I listen to the Mets because it's part of the job. Dan, thank you for the call. I'll explain how I started, right? So, like, when I came in here off of doing Yankees podcast, and I mean, there's a small amount of people that remember the first night I auditioned. August 25th, I auditioned, 2021, and the Yankees hadn't played. The Mets played that night. They lost to the Dodgers 3-2, and all the people wanted to call WFAN and complain about was Taijuan Walker being pulled. I had no idea how to, like, even approach that, because, like, I didn't watch the game. I came in with my whole agenda of what I wanted to do, and Zoo helped me out. He's like, you need to take these calls. It's all Mets fans. They're complaining about this. And I think someone even caught me in that moment. I was like, I don't care about the Mets. Like, just being honest, I come from the bleachers. I was raised by the creatures. There is a culture that exists in Section 203 before, during, and after the game that says we hate the Mets. Mets fans suck. I didn't create it. I was taught it. I was simply birthed into it, and there is just a way of Yankee fandom that looks down on the Mets fans. I have grown out of it some. I have learned to do the job, and you know what? I have watched more Mets baseball in the last couple years. I never watched the Mets growing up. It wasn't my cup of tea, but now I have to be prepared to talk about the Mets, and honestly, a lot of you guys surprised me with your Mets takes. Tom is in North Bergen, my last call of the night. Go for it, Tom.
Keith, thank you, buddy. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I want to call. We have to get over this rhetoric of trading Pete Alonso or putting him down in the batting order. This guy, Jeff, just called in and said we got to bat him six. We don't have to bat him six. If it's not broke, don't fix it. But what the Mets need to do, we have a big 3 weeks ahead of us. If we can get on the right track again and win games, we cannot throw Ben Gamble out there. We cannot throw Tyrone Taylor out there. We cannot throw DJ Stewart or Jeff McNeil. We need to go get a bat in the outfield. Somebody like Randy or Ray.
Starling Marte coming back. How long? I know he had a setback. Starling Marte will be back.
3 weeks, but we need a bat. We need like a Randy or Rosarena.
It's Pete. Watch Pete hit a homer in Yankee Stadium. It's Pete. Thanks for the call, Tom. That's the right energy. We need Pete. And yeah, I said I would read, you know, the Gary, Keith, and Ron. They're ranked number one after a decade in the top five. They're ranked never decreasing and an always respectable score. The beloved New York Mets broadcast team has finally topped our rankings. The trio of Gary, Keith, and Ron deserves this ranking no matter what complaints might be dished out by some. And that's kind of foreshadowing and hint, hint, wink, wink at the Keister. And the Keister is done. But we're going to do this again tomorrow. We're going to do this again Thursday. Pat Boyle's coming up next. Stay tuned for his show. Call his show. LGYM, Let's Go Yankee Mets. And we're another day closer to our teams getting back, and we'll figure out some things to talk about in the interim. I appreciate you guys. Call the show and listen to Pat. I'm out of here. Goodbye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.